Welcome to My Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries in Tustin, California. You are about to embark on a great journey through the Word of God. I am so glad you have chosen to join us. I believe that this will be a life-changing experience. In cooperation with the Lockman Foundation, which is the publisher of the New American Standard Bible and the Amplified Translation, we are presenting 365 broadcasts of the Word of God. And if you stay with us for all 365, you will have gone through every single page, chapter, and verse in the entire Bible. We are presenting My Everyday Bible, not reading it from page one to the end of the book of Revelation, but instead reading through Bible chapters grouped together in chronological order. In other words, as they occurred historically, that's the way that we're going to read them. So I think it will add a wonderful element that perhaps you haven't considered before, giving it historical context as we go through it. And I believe it will bring more revelation as you listen to the Word of God read in chronological order. We do begin, however, in the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis. So our reading this week will come from the New American Standard Bible, and today, on day one, we will read Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, through Genesis chapter 3, verse 27. And just as introduction to the book of Genesis, I'll make a few comments. First of all, that Jewish tradition holds that Moses was the author, having penned the book of Genesis, and actually the first five books of the Bible, known as the Pentateuch, during the time when the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness. And that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Moses penned the words you are about to hear, this history of creation itself, literally from the mouth of God to the prophet Moses, and written down for us, for many, many generations, to be able to understand how God created the heavens and the earth, how God created man, and the relationship between God and man, and how that all played out in the very beginning of time. So, gather your family together. We're about to begin on this journey, starting in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. Then God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." God made the expanse, and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse. And it was so. God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning, a second day. Then God said, "Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning, a third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made stars also. God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to govern the day and the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning, a fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens." God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." There was evening and there was morning, a fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after their kind." And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Then God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and every bird of the sky, and every thing that moves on the earth, which has life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their hosts. By the seventh day God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made earth and heaven. Now, no shrub of the field was yet in the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprouted, for the Lord God had not sent rain upon the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground. But a mist used to rise from the earth and water the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is Pishon. It flows around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good, and the bdellium and the onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It flows around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Tigris. It flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, 'You shall not eat from any tree of the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die.'" The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." Then to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat from it,' cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Now the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So he drove man out. And at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. These first three chapters in the book of Genesis are so amazing because they give us an insight into the very purpose for which God created the world and created man. We see so much in these first three chapters, but I'm going to touch on just a few things. The first thing I want to point out is this attribute of God that is so obvious in this first chapter, that God does everything by speaking it forth. Did you notice that when God wanted something done, he didn't wave his hand over the thin air? It says, he said. It said, "Then God said, 'Let there be light.'" And what happened? There was light. Every time God spoke, things came into being. So we see from this very first chapter the amazing power in the words that come from the mouth of God. What God says comes to pass. When God wants something to come to pass, He says it. Let there be light. Let there be waters. Let there be lights in the heavens. Let the waters be filled with living creatures. Every time He said something, it came to pass. And I want you to remember that important attribute of God, because as we continue through our reading of Scripture, we will notice that there's a powerful emphasis, especially highlighted, I will say, in the book of Proverbs, about the words that are spoken by human beings. There's a great emphasis on what is said, what should be said, what shouldn't be said, how things are said. And the reason is because, as we learned here in these first two chapters of Genesis, that God made man in His own image, according to His likeness. In other words, God's words are powerful when they are spoken by God, and then He made us as human beings in His image. Therefore, you can understand that what words that are spoken by a human being, the things that are said by any of us, also have a power to them as well. And we need to be very wise about what we say, how we say things, and how we use our words. This will be emphasized later as we get to the book of Proverbs, but I wanted to bring that to your attention because it is here in the first chapter of Genesis we see that this is the way God does things. He does them by speaking forth what He desires to come to pass. And when He speaks, the power in those words brings a creative force to bear. And so keep that in mind, that that's an attribute of our God, and we have been made in His image, and therefore there's a power that He's also given to us in our words as well. The second thing I want you to consider as we meditate on these passages we've just heard from Genesis 1, 2, and 3 is that in the very first chapter, I like to say it's God's macro view of creation. In other words, it's the overall description of creation, a general description. Day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6. God made these different things on those days. And then as we move into Genesis chapter 2, we find, you could say, a more micro view, a more detailed view of creation. We find out there that exactly how God created man. In the first chapter, we find out He made man. He made man in His image. He created them male and female. He blessed them. He spoke to them, etc. But in the second chapter, we find out, oh, He formed man from dust from the ground. That's an interesting detail we don't find in the first chapter. God gives us a little more detail. He says He took dust from the ground and He formed the body of man. And then His body wasn't alive until what happened? It says, then the Lord God breathed into His nostrils the breath of life. And at that point, man became a living being. That's a fascinating detail, that literally the breath of God brought forth life. That is a powerful thing. The other fascinating detail I'm sure that you observed here in the second chapter is that how did God actually make woman? It shows us in that chapter that though they were made on the same day according to the first chapter, in the second chapter we find out God took the rib of man out and from that bone created woman to be man's counterpart, man's suitable partner in life. A fascinating picture of woman from the side of man. And that is an interesting thing. God brought forth woman from the rib of man to stand side by side with man and a partner in life with man. So that is a beautiful picture of the intention of God for a marriage. And marriage is addressed in this second chapter. It says in the very last two verses, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." That's a beautiful statement about God's intention for marriage, laid out in the very beginning of the Bible. God's heart was that man and woman be joined together, become one flesh, be partners in life, walk together, live together harmoniously, and be blessed in life. That was God's intention for marriage. That is hardly the picture that the world portrays about marriage today. But we need to go back to the Word of God to see the intention of God for marriage. Not that one would dominate the other, but that they would walk side by side together. And you saw in this 23rd verse in the second chapter of Genesis that man's response when God presented his wife, Eve, to him, he was in awe. He said, you could almost say, and I'll say it just this way, "Wow, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." You can almost feel the excitement and the awe that Adam had when he first laid eyes upon this beautiful woman that God had created for him. And I tell you, that is the heart of God for marriage today. That there would be a joy, that there would be an excitement, that there would be an appreciation one for the other in a married couple. That's the heart of God for marriage. And it's possible in God to have that kind of marriage. I know this personally. God has blessed me. My husband and I have been married for some 32 years, and we both are blessed and appreciative of one another and thankful to God for the relationship and the partnership that we have in Christ with one another. The next thing that I want you to observe is a statement that is made in the third chapter. And it's in verse 8, and it talks about the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. To me, that very statement shows us something about the Lord and about his intention for man and woman and why he created them. I believe it speaks to us about God's desire to simply have fellowship with human beings, that the reason God created man and woman in his own image was because he wanted fellowship. He wanted to have relationship. You could say God wanted to have a family. He wanted to spend time with them. He wanted to hang out with them, if you want to accept that kind of common way of saying it. But God just wanted to be with man, spend time with man, be together, speak together, talk together. And that this was the very heart of God for why God created us in the very beginning. Do you realize that God just wants to spend time with you? He's not waiting for you to perform, to do certain religious activities, to try to please him in those ways, but instead, God's original intention for creating man and woman was to have fellowship with them. And I think we've so drifted from that original purpose, or even in the understanding of that purpose. God just wants to spend time with you. Do you want to spend time with God? Sometimes we have to pray even to ask God, give me a heart to have fellowship with you the way you wanted to have fellowship with me when you first created man. But as we move on through that narrative in Genesis 3, we find a very sad turn of events. Because here God created this perfect environment. Can you imagine When God created the earth, everything was perfection. There wasn't a poison plant. There wasn't anything decaying. There was nothing negative at all of the things that we can see in the earth today. There was none of that. Everything was perfection. It was beauty. Nothing was in any way harmful. But everything was very beautiful. And that was the heart of God, that He create His man and woman, human beings, to have fellowship, and that they could live in beauty and peace and joy and no lack. There was no lack. There was no lack of food. There was no hunger, starvation, sickness. There was nothing but goodness. The goodness of God literally displayed in this beautiful garden. God planted a garden, it says. And then He had a river flow out of Eden that watered the garden. He created natural irrigation for the garden, so everything was taken care of. There's no drought. There's no lack of any good thing. That was God's heart for man. Do you understand that? Today, things have been so twisted. The things spoken about God, the way God is portrayed in the earth today, you'd think He was some evil being that just wants to punish people. It's the complete opposite of that lie. God created man out of love, for love, to be in a loving relationship and to place them in a loving environment. And yet, what happened? We find out in Genesis 3. We find out that when God created man, He gave him a free will, meaning he could choose to obey, choose to live in right relationship with God, choose to follow God's design for his life. But He did not make him a robot where he would only do the will of God. He gave him the option to choose to be in relationship, loving relationship, and in obedience to his heavenly Father, or to not. To choose to disobey, to choose to walk away, to choose to ignore the dictates that God had placed, the very order that God had placed in the garden. God had made it very clear, you can eat freely of all of these beautiful trees of fruit. All of this is yours. I'm asking you one thing, do not take fruit, eat fruit, or even touch the fruit from one tree in that garden. And man had a choice to make. Man and woman had this choice because God had given them a free will. And we find out that the temptation to disobey God was presented very early in their story by this serpent, who immediately questioned what God said. And I'm going to tell you, this is the same story repeated over and over throughout the earth. Satan himself injecting doubt into the minds of people today about whether God is good, about God's motives, about what God said. Did God really say marriage is only for a man and a woman? Inject doubt into the earth, and it's happening right now. Did God really say this isn't right or that is not right? That is how Satan has worked on man throughout history. And we see it beginning here in the Garden of Eden with this serpent. And the serpent questions God's motives. Did God really say that? Did God really mean that you weren't supposed to do that? And oh, God lying. He literally says God's lying, because when Eve tells him, God says, you can't eat it or touch it or you'll die. The serpent immediately responds by calling God a liar. You surely will not die. That's what the serpent says. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So he injects doubt. He questions what God said. He calls God straight out a liar. And then through that, casting doubt about God's words, God's motives, God's purpose, what God even said, he tempts Eve to fall into, to give into what she sees with her eyes. It says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was a delight to the eyes, the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. So the temptation came after she listened to questions about God, and then secondly, after she gave in to what she saw with her eyes. And we know that it's the same way temptation works today on any person. Questioning whether it's really wrong, questioning whether God will really care about whether you do that or you don't do that, questioning whether God intended good for you or not. When he told you not to do that, not to sleep with someone else's wife, not to steal or whatever it is. And then when you see with your eyes and you give in to what your eyes tell you instead of holding to what God said, that's when temptation draws a person down into the pit of sin. And at that point, we find separation from God. Because that's what happened in this story. We see the free will of man, the temptation of man, and then the decision by man, and I mean human, because we're talking about Eve and then her husband Adam following with her, that they choose to forget what God said or turn against what God told them, do what he told them not to do, and then the result is devastating. This beautiful environment, this perfect fellowship with God is suddenly shrouded in shame. Because, you know, it says that they were naked and they were not ashamed. There was no shame in it. It's how God created man and woman, but it wasn't until sin came in and polluted the whole environment that suddenly shame was covering them and they felt ashamed being naked. It's like they knew God could see their sin. And they tried to cover themselves, make themselves look okay by sewing fig leaves together. And that's a picture of how we try to make ourselves look good in our own strength. But there's only one way to look good, to be good, is with being covered by the grace of God and the love of God and the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from our sin. So this sin, this decision to disobey God, brought separation from God. We see the end result here in Genesis 3. Instead of remaining in this beautiful atmosphere with God together, Adam and Eve end up being cast out of the Garden of Eden. Because God didn't want them to eat from the tree that would give them eternal life. He didn't want them living forever in their sinful state that they were in. Something else had to change. And I think it's amazing that literally the gospel of salvation is prefigured here in Genesis 3. Can you imagine? We see sin. We see God confronting the sin. Where are you? He asks Adam. He didn't ask, what have you done first? He asked, where are you? Where are you in relationship to me? What happened to our close fellowship where we would walk in the garden together in the cool of the day? Where are you? What happened? God's asking all of us today the same question. Where are you in relationship to me? Are you far from me? Or are you walking in close fellowship? And then the next thing we see is God confronting the sin itself. And he says, what have you done? And that addresses the sin issue. And then we find out that how did God help them in this situation? They had tried to cover themselves with their own fig leaves, but it says that God covered them. It says the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. That is a picture for us of what would happen with Christ on the cross. Why do I say that? For God to make garments of animal skin for Adam and his wife to wear as clothing means God, there was an animal that was slain, blood was shed, the skin would now cover them. And you could say it's a picture looking forward to what God would do for all of humanity. God would allow the Lamb to be slain, and that's a name for Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. The Lamb would be slain, blood would be shed, and literally His life would cover us, cleanse us from sin, and cover us from all shame. Do you realize that any shame you're experiencing in your life right now, any sorrow over sin that you've committed, can be wiped away in a moment simply by calling on the name of the Lord, accepting that what Jesus did on the cross was enough to cleanse you of sin and cover you and remove your shame? This is the picture we see in the very book of Genesis of what God would do to restore the fellowship that was lost in the Garden of Eden to man through Jesus. So we begin in this book of beginnings with a, you could say, prophetic picture of what God would do through Jesus Christ on the cross to cover all of us, to cleanse us and to cover us, so that we can once again have beautiful, perfect, precious fellowship, unashamed fellowship with God. It's what He desires. It's what God wants to do. If you've never asked Christ to be your Lord and your Savior, do that today. And this broken fellowship that you've had, this far away where you're far from God, where God says, "Where are you?" and you're so far away from God, can be restored to perfect and beautiful fellowship because God's willing to forgive you. He's willing to cleanse you. All you have to do is ask, but you also have to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. His blood was shed to cleanse you of those sins. His life was given to cover your life with His, so that when God looks at you, He sees the righteousness of Christ on your life. Not because you did it perfect, not because anything you did, no fig leaf you tried covered it, but instead because Christ became the sacrificial lamb that became the covering for your life, so that you can once again be in fellowship with your Creator, your Heavenly Father, who loves you and who made you so that you could walk in fellowship with Him. Thanks for your time today. Join me again tomorrow for day 2 of my Everyday Bible. If you have enjoyed my Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia 24551. Once again, that's P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Have a victorious week.